welcome to another episode of Pop Fix, your weekly fix for pop culture news and gossip. I'm Marnie Dixit, and I'm very lucky this week. I have got both my lovely co-hosts, Samma Rose.
Hello.
And Steph Nuzzo.
Oh, hi.
Coming up, we've got yet another Britney Spears update, but spoiler alert, this one is not good, plus some rage-inducing Bill Cosby news, is it worth it, and more. So let's get into your Pop Fix, where we fill you in on everything that's happened in the entertainment world this week. So as I mentioned, in an incredibly disappointing update in Britney Spears' conservatorship hearing, a Los Angeles judge has denied the request to remove the singer's father, Jamie Spears, from the conservatorship. While the decision did come a week after Britney herself spoke out about the arrangement, calling it abusive, it is apparently in response to a request made by Britney's lawyer in November to remove Jamie as the sole conservator. At the time, her attorney, Samuel Ingham III, said Britney was afraid of Jamie. It seems now that Britney has a very big battle ahead if she does want to escape the conservatorship, which we know that she does. In an expose for The New Yorker, written by Ronan Farrow and Gia Tolentino, they interviewed a disability rights lawyer who said that things like conservatorships are often inescapable. The strategy is to isolate, medicate, liquidate. You isolate them, medicate them to keep them quiet, and liquidate the assets, they said. The journalists also shared a catch-22 for people who try to end conservatorship arrangements. They write, if the conservatee functions well under the arrangement, it can be viewed as proof the conservatorship is necessary. If a conservatee struggles under conservatorship, the same conclusion can be drawn.
Jesus.
I know. They also painted a chilling picture for Britney's life if she is able to have the conservatorship lifted, pointing out that if she were to stumble into crisis or manipulation, a likelihood increased by time spent formally disempowered. This could also be used to argue that her conservatorship had been necessary all along, and even potentially to place her back into the arrangement. As we know, during her time under the conservatorship, Britney toured the world, recorded numerous albums, had a Vegas residency for years. She didn't seem too incapable during that time, if I were to say so. Another lawyer told the journos that it's a human right to be able to make your own mistakes. It's possible we'd all be better off if someone was making decisions for us like that, but those are not the values of the society we live in, they said. New reports have also been steadily coming in since the last week's show, including a friend of the singer named Jacqueline Butcher, who alleges that Jamie taunted Britney, calling her fat, calling her a whore and a terrible mother just after the conservatorship began. He would get all in her face, spittle was flying, telling her she was a whore and a terrible mother, she alleged. Spears was told that she could see her kids again only if she cooperated. Lynn was just like, obey daddy and they'll let you out. Spears behaved and regained limited access to her children, but Jamie got rid of anyone his daughter had been close to, the journalists added. Then it was revealed the night before she spoke to the judge, Britney called 911 to report herself as a victim of conservatorship abuse. Although emergency calls are generally open to the public, we've all heard a number of them, even some we wish we hadn't, hers was sealed due to the ongoing investigation. Now, Iggy Azalea has even come out, speaking about her experience working with Britney while on tour together in 2015. She took to Twitter, I think, and she wrote, "It's basic human decency to, at the very least, remove a person Britney has identified as abusive from her life. This should be illegal. During the time we worked together in 2015, I personally witnessed the same behaviour Britney detailed in regards to her father last week, and I just want to back her up and tell the world that she is not exaggerating or lying. I saw her restricted from even the most bizarre and trivial things, like how many sodas she was allowed to drink. Why is that even necessary?" she continued. Her father conveniently waited until literally moments before our BMA's performance when I was backstage in the dressing room and told me if I did not sign an NDA, he would not allow me on stage. The way he went about getting me to sign a contract sounded similar to the tactics Britney spoke about last week in regards to her Las Vegas show. Britney Spears should not be forced to coexist with that man when she's made it clear it is negatively impacting her mental health. This is not right at all. So a very sad week for Britney fans. Just when you think things can only get better, they get worse.
Yeah, it was like she had this moment where she was finally speaking her truth, and so you think that that would be enough for the legal system to go, okay, this victim is speaking out about her abuse. I mean, surely if Iggy Azalea can say things like this, I don't know how it works. Can't people testify and say, yes, there is abusive behavior. I mean,
yeah, true.
I was reading about Jamie and Lynn's divorce, and apparently he was really abusive to Lynn as well.
Oh, Jesus. Of course.
Yeah, so I don't understand how this conservatorship works, but remember when we spoke about it, I think the first time we ever spoke about it, there was a lawyer who was saying that historically in their career they've only seen one person break free of their conservatorship. So it just must be really hard to get out of these things.
Yeah. I don't know. It's obviously a really complicated part of the law, the way it all works, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm surprised that it is not getting better very, well, at all. I was going to say very quickly. It's not getting better. It's shocking and saddening, but I just think that, you know, historically, these people, the people involved in this, have shown that they think that she has to be in this conservatorship or whatever. I don't know. Like, I just don't imagine it's going to turn around anytime soon. The thing that, like, really kind of stood out to me about this is that, like, she can speak up, be really, you know, coherent and talk about all the ways in which this is failing her personally. But it just feels like that kind of age-old concept of handling a hysterical woman who's behaving in an erratic manner. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you prove yourself capable when everyone around you is just, like, belittling you and, and you know, they come in with the idea that you're unhinged? I don't know. How do you
I also feel like if she was to get out, I think they would definitely find a way to get her back in. Like, she'll make the smallest mistake and they'll be like, all right, we were right.
Clearly you're unfit to do anything. Totally. But yeah, like, you have a point you were saying before, Marnie. Like, this woman has been working nonstop.
Yeah.
Well, since she was 16 and since these 13 years have happened. I don't understand what this conservatorship is supposed to do for her. Is it supposed to stop her from spending money or... Like, she shaved her head. We've all been there. I mean, not all of us, but we've all had moments.
Which... Sam has shaved her head.
So. Not for the same reasons. Yeah. But, you know, we've all been through mental distress, and I don't understand what this is supposed to do for her, how it's supposed to help her.
It doesn't seem like she's really doing that much work at the moment. And I guess, you know, it is, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so that could explain that. Mm. But if what they want from her is money, they're not really like, I mean, I guess there must be royalties and all that kind of stuff, but there's no like actively making money, it seems. I don't know. I'm probably wrong, but that's just what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah, because I don't know if she's still doing her Vegas shows. I don't know what's happening there.
No, I think they stopped.
Mm.
Yeah. The thing that like hurts to read over and over again is the fact that she didn't know that she could request to have the conservatorship ended. Totally. And she was just ignorant on that. So it's like she was brought into this thing without being told of what it was, how it works. They were just like, you be quiet, you do what we tell you, and accept it.
Yeah. And, like, isn't it true that also, but even at this point, now that she now she understands that she would be able to make that request, that hasn't been put forward still?
Yeah, that's, I think that this current request is from November, and they have to work through that first, and then they can work through this request she's just made. Is that right?
I don't think that her lawyer has filed a request to end it
at all.
Samuel Ingham III.
This is what I've just recently read. I could be wrong, but that's what I understand it to be. That it actually has never been, that request, like, to end the conservatorship, has never officially been made.
Following the news of Britney's conservatorship ruling, the world was saddened and frustrated to hear that around the same time, Bill Cosby was released from prison. So Cosby has been accused by approximately 60 women of rape, sexual assault, sexual battery, sexual misconduct, and child sexual abuse. In 2018, he was convicted of 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault. He was sentenced to a minimum of 3 years and a maximum of 10 years in state prison and fined $25,000 plus any associated legal costs. So in 2019, Cosby appealed this verdict that he was charged for the maximum 10 years, minimum 3 years. And this past week, the Supreme Court overruled his conviction, finding that he was unfairly prosecuted. And this...
That's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason, I'm sure you guys have read, but the reason why kind of makes it even worse.
It's a fucked up technicality.
Yes. So, but on top of that, this decision will prevent Cosby from ever being tried on the same charges again. So, as Marnie said, the Supreme Court decided to release Cosby due to a legal technicality around an agreement Cosby made in 2005. With the then district attorney Bruce Castor Jr. So in 2005, a 30-year-old basketball professional, Andrea Constand, reported to police that 12 months prior, Cosby drugged and raped her. Constand had gone to Cosby's house for dinner and career advice. Sometime during the evening, Cosby gave her these three pills, telling her they were herbal medicine. Constand maintains that after taking the pills, she got dizzy and Cosby took her to his couch and assaulted her while she was semi-unconscious. So the police investigated the accusations, and Cosby maintained that they had had consensual sex. District Attorney Castor Jr. decided not to press any charges, citing insufficient, credible, and admissible evidence. So Constand decided to launch a civil case against Cosby, along with 12 other women who would testify against him. Fast forward a decade later, Cosby's deposition to the district attorney on a civil suit was made public, and it is revealed Cosby admitted to giving quaaludes to women he wanted to have sex with. So those three pills were indeed not herbal medicine. So it turns out in 2015, when Cosby was charged for assault, Castor Jr. testified that in 2005 he had promised Cosby that he wouldn't be prosecuted in the hopes that Cosby would then testify in the civil suit and therefore allow Constand to win damages. So the promise was only put into writing once, and that was in a 2005 media release wherein Castor Jr. announced his decision and intended to shield Cosby from prosecution for, quote, all time. Which I just don't even know why anyone would do something like that. So prosecutor Kevin Steele, who brought charges against Cosby in 2015, argued that he was not bound by Castor Jr.'s promise. And I would argue that, yeah, he's not. He didn't make that promise. But the Supreme Court saw it differently and said the following, denying the defendant the benefit of that decision is an affront to fundamental fairness, particularly when it results in a criminal prosecution that was foregone for more than a decade. Since the news broke about Cosby's release and the legal technicality which freed him, people have been voicing their concerns that this ruling could deter victims of sexual assault from coming forward in the future. Constand released a statement saying, "We urge all victims to have their voices heard." Cosby's release has garnered a lot of celebrity attention as well. Actress and Time's Up founding member Amber Tamblyn said, "I am furious to hear this news. I personally know women who this man drugged and raped while unconscious. Shame on the court and this decision. I don't want to hear anything about how cancel culture ruined men's lives during the Me Too era reckoning for women and survivors. How we went too far. Today's news that Cosby's conviction is being overturned is proof we haven't gone far enough. Our justice system must change." Rosie O'Donnell tweeted, "I guess 70 women weren't enough. Fuck you, Bill." Which, that should be a trending hashtag. Fuck you,
totally.
Bill. But not everyone is outraged by Cosby's release. His long-term co-star on The Cosby Show, I think she played his wife, Felicia Rashad.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, okay. So she must have had a fairly close relationship with him then. But she tweeted, "Finally, a terrible wrong is being righted. A miscarriage of justice is corrected." She copped a lot of criticism across Twitter, and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air star Janet Hubert responded to her tweet with, "Felicia, what were you thinking? I don't know you, but to say this was terribly wrong. Everyone knew that he was doing that back then. How could you not? Get your umbrella, sister. Here comes the shit shower, which I love.
I love that. That's so good.
She says, I'm outraged that this has been released. Yes, he is an old ass guilty man. Felicia later tried to take back her statement and said that she was no way intending to be insensitive to the victim's truth.
Oh, sorry, were you not? Oh, yeah. Really? Well, you're fucking dead.
When you specifically said that
it was
like,
a miscarriage of justice. Was,
yeah.
Exactly.
Odd choice of words. Yeah, but I've seen loads of comparisons of Britney and Bill Cosby over the weekend, that one woman is, you know, going through facing her abuser day after day, and this guy can just walk free now.
Oh my yeah. God.
I was reading an article about this, and it was specifically about, you know, the US legal system, but I think it, you know, applies in a lot of places. But it was saying how there's two different systems for, like, when it comes to things like this, basically how, you know, usually it's white men with a lot of money, but just, you know, men with power, and then basically everybody else, but, you know, women often are the ones who kind of lose out on the other side. And it was just talking about how, like, in sexual assault cases, like, I think the figure was something like in 1,000 cases, 957 or people who have been accused of sexual assault or rape go free and then have, you know, often go on and have, like, very successful careers and, like, not really any kind of
ramifications
at all. Yeah, so I think people, and mostly women, are already very deterred from
even talking about it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they often don't want to report these things already, so when you see things like that happen, like, of course
you're like, well, nothing's gonna happen, so why do I bother?
Yeah. And I just think, I don't know, the news about Britney in comparison to this, the first thing that I thought when I read about it all, I was like, it just shows, like, so clearly that the system does not care about women. I mean, it doesn't care about any kind of group that, you know, any kind of minority. But yeah. I just think that it's, I don't know, it's just blatant, isn't it?
Totally. And, like, yeah. So, like, for the victims, the survivors, I should say, the whole thing would be so heavy and triggering for them. And because of a technicality, it's so wrong. And you know what else is fucked up? The statute of limitations. That shouldn't be a thing. If you did something horrible however many years ago, you should pay for it at any point in time.
Yeah,
I know. Can be, like, found guilty of a murder however many years later. I mean, I know,
the principle should apply. Things, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
If you were a horrible man 20, 30 years ago, probably still are.
Mm. So, yeah, especially if you've never had any ramifications, as you guys said.
I just, it's just really depressing.
It is, but I think what Constance said about this is something I think people need to hold on to, and it's like, don't let this stop you from coming forward with your truth. And I can see why it would deter a lot of people. You see a victim of abuse being told she has to stick with her abuser on one side, and then this guy who's admitted to giving women quaaludes when he wants to have sex with them, and a promise was made like 16 years ago. Like, who cares? He's been prosecuted.
Then why?
Where's the limitations on the promise?
Exactly, yes. Steph. Nice,
that's
one.
That's so true. My mind is blown.
So Olivia Rodrigo and Lil Nas X have been getting some attention of late. They're probably not in the way that they were hoping to. The artists have been called out by Courtney Love and Madonna, respectively, over copycat accusations. So, I know, shock horror. Courtney Love came at Rodrigo recently after the artist shared promo material for her concert film Sour Prom, and the image pictures Rodrigo on you know, dressed up for prom night with tears running down her face, makeup smudged, a tiara on her head, and a bunch of flowers, like, in her grip. Love posted the photo to Instagram with the caption, "Spot the difference, hashtag twinning." And she was very clearly referring to her cover art for Hole's Live Through This. And you have to admit, the picture, like, it is pretty, the resemblance is pretty obvious. Like, you can see very clearly that these pictures are almost exactly the same.
Except I feel like Olivia's, like, angelic and Courtney's, like,
yeah. Yeah. The facial expression is different, but the artistic direction is very much the same.
Similar colours, like, as well, from memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, when Love shared the dig on Instagram, Rodrigo replied saying, "Love you and live through this so much." After Rodrigo commented that, though, Courtney Love directed her to her favourite florist, saying that she expected a delivery and a note, basically. So kind of similarly, Madonna took to Instagram to share a picture of Lil Nas X kissing one of his male backup dancers at the 2021 BET Awards during a performance, compared to Madonna kissing Britney Spears on stage, that, you know, famous kiss that we all know very, very well. And she basically shared the two, saying hashtag did it first. So this story is a little different, though, because while people did come for Madonna very quickly after this, Lil Nas actually responded saying that he's friends with her and that it was all just a joke. I mean, look, it's clear that Lil Nas's on-stage kiss can't really be compared to Madonna's at all, because he's a black gay man, and that is a far more significant move for representation than Madonna kissing Britney for drama.
Like, at the headlines.
Not the same thing at all. But if he says that her post was a joke, then maybe I just kind of feel like there doesn't really need to be a scandal there.
I don't even care. I hate Madonna, so just...
Do you really?
You just hate Madonna on her anyway?
Yeah, I'm just going to hate her anyway.
Wow.
The woman is 62. Take up gardening or something. Chill the fuck out. Like, stop trying to prove you are, like, hip and with it. Did you guys see the video of her recently? I think it was in New York for Pride Week. I mean, Pride Month, sorry, Pride
Pride
Week.
Month.
Yeah. Is this
Month.
Where she had her, like, it was a mesh top?
It was a mesh top. You could just see her boobs straight up. She had some belt under there, so her boobs were, like, high up. And yeah. I'm pretty sure she's also wearing a grill. And she had this stupid blue wig on.
It's very Madonna, though. Madonna's always been...
I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't rate the grill. I don't remember seeing that.
I'm like, woman, just... Like, the outfit was just screaming, "Don't stop talking about me, please."
But that's on brand for Madonna. Throughout her career, she's done, like, you know, the cone bra.
It's like, Cher's not gonna go gardening.
Cher is amazing.
Mine just doesn't look like Madonna.
Cher can plank for how many minutes? 7?
What?
I don't know, 300.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I don't know, but, like, also,
Madonna is frustrating. I know what you mean. She always says stupid things.
And what about the time that she photoshopped her head onto a TikToker's body? Do you remember that?
Yes.
No.
It was such a bad job, too.
It was so bad. And then the girl tried to, like, reach out and got no response, and has previously said, like, you know, if Madonna had ever reached out and said, "Yep, I did that," like, the girl's just like, "I just wish I had credit."
Yeah.
That was her body.
But do we think Madonna made that decision? Do we think Madonna was like, "Photoshop me on that TikTok"?
Yeah, yeah, I bet she was, because she's crazy.
Oh my God. But I don't know. I mean, I have no words now. I think, I am interested to know, just kind of more broadly about these two stories here, what you guys think, and, you know, do you kind of agree with any of the comments? Like, what do you reckon?
I think that Olivia Rodrigo is basically a baby. She's 18.
Yeah.
And I reckon she either had no idea or she did, whatever, but her team should have maybe been like, maybe if we're going to do this, maybe let's, you know, make it obvious. Let's say something. I see the similarities and stuff, but I'm kind of like, move on, Courtney. Like, move on.
Yeah.
I also saw that Olivia had shared, like, she'd hinted at her inspo for the cover by sharing photos of, like, Seth and Summer from the OC, Carrie, Twilight. And so I'm like, did you know? Because if you knew, then maybe you would have shared that photo.
Mm.
And again, Courtney, you're 56. She's 18. Move on. Did you see the Elvis Costello thing? Yeah, it does feel like punching
down.
Yes. Yeah.
So he was like, because apparently a song of hers sounds like his, and someone pointed out on Twitter, and he was just kind of like, well, that's rock and roll, baby. That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, because he even had, for one of his tracks, his inspiration was Bob Dylan and another group. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that's what I was going to point to, is that the music industry is always kind of copying each other. And I wanted to go last, Marnie, because I wanted to do an activity with you two. Because I really wanted to drive home this point of just how much music takes from each other. There's nothing really truly original anymore, I don't think.
That's true. But I do think, though, that most of the time, if you're going to sample somebody's music and think people credit,
like, well,
that's different.
You,
right?
I don't know. So I wanted to name a couple really famous songs for you two,
I'm nervous.
And you can tell me if you know what song they sampled from.
Oh.
Sorry,
mm-hmm.
Or if you can guess. So the first song that has sampled another song that I want you two to tell me if you know. It's Mo Money, Mo Problems by the Notorious B.I.G. What track?
Is it the one that's like, I'm coming? Is that one? Is it that song?
Sing it again.
I'm not singing it again. Come on.
Was that? Yes.
I
Marnie, you were right. You were right. It's I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. So, yeah. Marnie, well done.
I was trying to visualize the song in my head and
you
I
did
knew it.
You did it. Well, the next one is actually a song by Madonna, and it's Hung Up.
Oh, it's Gimme Gimme. It's ABBA.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
You two are doing so well. Okay, here's the last one. Let's see if you get it. It's Bootylicious by Destiny's Child.
Is it Stevie Nicks or Fleetwood Mac?
It's Stevie Nicks.
Oh, good job.
That one, it's like, ooh, baby, ooh. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Edge of 17.
Nice. There you go.
Forget you guys well knocked done. It out of the park. I'm
insert
so impressed.
Cheers here. The crowd goes wild. All right, we'll be back in just a moment for Is It Worth It? Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at Pop Fix Podcast, or we'd love to have you on our Facebook group, which you can find if you search the same thing. You're listening to Pop Fix, and it's time for Is It Worth It? And as we mentioned last week, we are in lockdown, and I took some time out of rewatching Friends to watch something new.
Pod, very selfless.
I know. Something that everyone has seemingly been talking about for the last week or so, and that is Sex Life.
Now, I'm so intrigued to know what you think of this show, Marnie.
I know that people have been watching because of one scene where one of the guys, who's an Aussie actor, is seen with a very large package. But has anyone watched any more of it? Because I have thoughts.
I've only seen up until that episode.
See, I haven't yet. I haven't seen the... someone told me it was down to his kneecap, so I haven't seen that yet.
Well, you
I actually
that in mind while you... when you
I did it. One of those things where I recorded my reaction.
Amazing. Amazing.
Put it on to Instagram. It. Do it. Please.
So if you're not aware of the show somehow, I really don't know how you couldn't be. But anyway, it's about a woman named Billy who is happily married. She's got two children, but she started thinking about her ex and their wild escapades. And she ends up bumping into him, and now he's sort of like back in her life. And she's been writing about these thoughts of him in a diary on her laptop, which has no password, so her husband finds it and reads it and tries to keep up with the things that she used to do with her ex. So it's kind of, that was a very quick sort of recap, but it's kind of like she has to choose sex or the life that she and her husband have built together. Sex life. Sex slash life.
Oh, literally.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's, I mean, that's what I got from that. I don't know about anyone else.
That makes sense.
But anyway.
Okay.
It is so shit, guys. Honestly, I don't know if people have watched the whole thing, because I don't know where any rave reviews are coming from. It's bad. The story is bad. The acting is bad. The ending is so bad. And I have got very little positive to say about it, to be honest. Like, it's not even like Emily in Paris. I think that was better.
What?
I actually finished it out of laziness of having to decide to watch something else. There's too many options at the moment, guys, but I would also love to hear any recommendations. And I also really hate leaving shows unfinished, if I can help it. Also, for the pod. So, if you take anything from today's episode, it's don't bother watching Sex Life, or if you absolutely must, that thing that everyone's talking about, episode 3, 20-minute mark. You will find it there. The scene does have an editing fail, where a tattoo that is meant to be visible is not, so there is that too. And apparently, guys, yes, it is real. Some people who know the actor, I think his name is Adam Demos, people who knew him back in the day slid into M. Rusciano's DMs to tell her. So
Jesus.
There's that. Steph, you saw something a little more appropriate for all ages.
This is a real change in tone, but I saw Pixar's latest feature film, Luca.
Cute.
Aww.
Yeah, I saw it a little while ago, but I just thought it would be worth chatting about because it was quite a sweet film. It's set in the Italian Riviera. They make up a town, but it's based around the story of these sea monsters who live near this fictional coastal town, and the town has like a long history of hunting these sea monsters because they think they're evil and they want them dead, basically.
How rude.
I know. Poor sea monsters just trying to live,
trying to eat
life. Pasta, have a good time.
Oh, I didn't even know they did that, but cool, good to know.
Yeah. Well, they do in a certain context, I'll explain.
Oh, okay.
So basically the premise here is that these sea monsters take human form when they step onto shore and they dry off.
Right.
Which I guess makes sense in Pixar land.
I was gonna say how.
Yeah, so they can walk around the town in disguise, like unnoticed, as long as they don't get wet. As soon as they come into contact with water, they turn back into sea monsters. So
they can't wash their hands?
No.
They need the toilet? Disgusting little boys.
Yeah, so I doubt they do anyway.
Wow, interesting.
Or if they do, they have to just really quickly dry off and then they can return to humans.
Just flap their hands really fast.
Yeah. But basically, the story follows Luca, who is a young sea monster. And he doesn't really have much going on. He kind of herds, I think it was like, basically, I think they call him goatfish or something. But he's like herding fish. He's got a very simple life. Simple little Italian sea monster. And he's curious about the dangerous human world. It's very Little Mermaid vibes.
Oh, so true.
Yeah. Anyway, Luca meets another more rebellious sea monster called Alberto. Ooh. And they decide to go exploring together. So it's kind of centered on the idea of belonging and the ways we judge one another, because obviously the humans are like, those sea monsters are evil, they're gross, they're awful. And it's gotten a lot of interest, in particular because loads of people think that there's like a queer undertone to this film.
In the boys.
And in the boys, yeah. They're like teenagers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, just to, it's not like kind of weirdly sexualizing. There's nothing happens, like obviously, but just in terms of like the connections there. And yeah, so the director and writer Enrico Casarossa said that that's not part of the story. He's denied it, but there are loads of people who are really connecting to this story and the themes of these two young boys who are kind of outsiders. They find each other when they feel like they're different to everyone else. They have to go around hiding who they really are, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the intention behind the film, it's really kind of touching a lot of people, and a lot of people are just finding it really moving for that reason. There's also like, it's also been praised because like of other things, like there's a disabled fisherman in the film who he's, you know, not defined by that part of his life. He's like, you know, real badass and stuff. And it's just kind of refreshing to see. But my only criticism, I have to say. This is not a new thing for Disney or Pixar or whatever, but the accents are so bad. They're really inconsistent. Like they literally just make the sea monsters have New York accents. Like that'll do. It's really like Luca doesn't even call his grandma Nonna, which is crazy to me. Like,
because they're Italian.
They're Italian. I don't understand. It's so weird. And like there are a few characters that you can tell have legit Italian accents when they're talking, but the rest of them, like, they can't even say their own names properly. It's so weird. I don't know. They have this thing where they say Silencio Bruno. They're like, Silencio Bruno. It's really weird. I don't know. It makes me sick. So that really took me out of the experience, I have to say. And that just is annoying and whatever. But overall, it's really worth it. It was a really beautiful story, and I think that it's worth it.
Nice. Well, I'm glad something was. I can see Sam laughing. Alrighty, that is all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us this week on PopFix, your weekly fix of pop culture news. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. And if you could please leave us a 5-star rating and review, if you are enjoying it, that is, we would very, very much appreciate it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at PopFix Podcast, or join us on Facebook in our little Facebook group, which you can find if you search the same thing. Samma, where can we find you on Insta?
You can find me at @SammaRose_.
And Steph?
I'm at Steph Nitzo.
And you can find me at @MarnieDixit. We'll be back in a week. Chat to you then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.